Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 10. Judges, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 to 7, but mainly deal with verses 1 to 5. Judges chapter 10, verses 1 to 7, we will read. This is the word of the Lord. Please give it careful, special attention. To save Israel, Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in the mountains of Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. A Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. Now he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. They also had 30 towns, which are called Havoth Jair, to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Cammon. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the people of Ammon. Let us pray. God, we pray, Father, that you would use it now and the preaching of your word to stir up in our hearts a great rejoicing for the peace that you bring after storms. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You've lost calm before the storm. And this is a pessimistic type saying that if things are going really good right now, don't plan on it lasting forever because a storm is coming. This term is even used in weather. It's used metaphorically that if you have calmness in your life now, a storm may be coming, or a storm is coming. And that's really the norm in our life. It's the norm in weather. It is the norm in our life. But wait, a storm is coming. Right now there is calm, but a storm is coming. But what about calm after a storm? When you are going through storms, when you are going through dark days of your life, can you expect a calmness, a time of peace to come? For many years, I worked for an electric utility company, and one of our jobs on this construction crew was to, we got called to different cities where hurricanes or tornadoes had come through, and we were going there to restore the power lines and restore electricity. I mean, we would get called to cities like Miami and along the East Coast in the Carolinas, and Hurricane Katrina as it went through New Orleans. At some point, the electric companies realized that if we can get our people just close enough to the storm, rather than wait till everything passes through, they'll be able to get there sooner and restore power. And so we would be sent, thousands of us and other companies, other electric utilities, we would be sent and we would stage at like a fairgrounds parking lot and be really close to where the storm was coming. And as soon as the storm passed through, we would rush in to restore the power. And one of the things that I noticed, and even before, like a hurricane would come through, that there would be a calm. Even a calm in nature. Because nature knows things. Birds know things. Animals know things. They know when trouble is coming, and they can sense the change in the weather much more than we can as human beings. But there would be this quietness before the storm. And then the storm would come through, and it would do its damage. And then once again, for a certain amount of time, there would be some quietness. us. As nature and animals and even people waited to make sure that the storm had passed and it was safe to come out again. But every time the storm went through, there was great damage. And just because the storm had gone didn't mean that everybody's life was okay. But because the storm had come through and done so much powerful damage and left so much trouble behind, people needed peace to come after a storm. There needed to be some calmness. And we would see that, even in the weather phenomena. We would see storms pass through, dark storms, windy storms, rain and ice and things like that in different storms. And when that storm passed through, you could expect the clouds to move on. And the sun began to shine. And the birds began to sing. Which was a sign, a clue to us, that in nature, things were going to be restored. Things were going to come back. And then it was our job as electrical supply people, electrical restoration teams to come in and get their electricity back on. And then you would begin to see people come out again. You begin to see people come out and relate to one another again. And so while storms do come, for those of us who are trusting and looking to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we should also expect peace and calmness to follow. We should be living that way, recognizing that storms will come, trouble will come, but so will peace. And now in Judges chapter 10, in just these five short verses, we see a calmness coming, a calmness after the storm. And this is how the Lord often works, not only in nature, but also in the life of a nation, in the life of the church, and also in the life of the body of believers, the individual believers in the church. The Lord brings calmness and peace after a storm. And we see this here in Judges chapter 5, Judges chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. And the first thing I want us to see is the storm of Abimelech. And that's in verse 1. And then secondly, we will be looking at the calm of God in verses 2 to 5. And we see in verse 1 right away, in Judges chapter 10, this chapter is introduced with the words, after Abimelech. And the writer of Judges here is reminding us of the terrible storm that had just rolled through Israel. Do you remember what we talked about last week in Judges chapter 9, looking at Abimelech? Well, here the writer at what happened in this dark day of Israel that followed good days. The man that God from the annual raiders who had come every year and destroying and taking everything of Israel's produce and their animals and such, not only was he gone, speaking of Gideon, but his sons, whom he had left behind, had been cruelly murdered by their stepbrother. This is a dark day in the life of Israel. And certain men had aligned themselves to make this one, Abimelech, who had no right to be king over Israel. The people went from having a great deliverer in Gideon, whom God had raised up, to having a cruel king who men had raised up and destroyed the family of Gideon. And not only did they destroy the family of Gideon, Abimelech and his men went on to destroy another city that came out against him and destroyed another city and saw. If this kind of thing would have happened in your area, your county, or your city, you would be thinking, what a dark storm have we gone through. And so the words in verse 1, after Abimelech, serve not only to remind us of the order and time of one situation following another, but also of the character of those who ruled in Israel and the situation that the people were in at that very moment. These were people whose lives had just been turned upside down. These were people who had just seen cruel and mass murder. These were people who had seen cities destroyed. And while the storm of Abimelech has passed, he has died. The effects of a storm last longer than the storm itself. And you know that. You know that in weather, when it happens, when a storm or a tornado passes through your town or city. You know that in your life as well. That when you are going through dark days and storms of your life, just because the storm has passed doesn't mean it didn't leave a trail of damage and hurt and pain and a lack of peace. This is what the people of Israel had just experienced. The storm of Abimelech, he himself had passed and gone. But now these people were living with the reality that many of their family members were killed. Other family members remained. Families were torn apart. Providers for these families and their life's needs were no longer there. After Abimelech ruled for 3 years, the people of God were in need of calm and peace. They were in need of God's peace and God's grace. Just in these two short words, there is set for us a contrast of what has happened in the storm and what we can know by this storm and what was given to us in Judges chapter 9 of the damage that was left behind. What is the great need of these people? But a calm and a peace. And that is recorded for us here. The Lord God provides not only good judges here in verses 2 to 5, but he provides calm after the storm. Now, verses 2 to 5 are just a short description of the time of these two judges. And it may suggest that God did not do much for Israel during this time, right after the storm of Abimelech. And we could just read these five. Well, there's not much to see here. Let's move on to the juicier tale of Judges chapter 10 in the life of Jephthah and all that's going to happen there, which we will, Lord willing, move on to that. But the Lord does not... These five verses are here for us and meant to speak to us of what the Lord is doing in the life of His people so that we can look back and we can say, see what the Lord did. And we can expect that the Lord will do that for us as well. And so he does have something for us in this short passage describing the time of the judges Tola and Jair. This was a time during this reign of these two judges. It was a time of peace and calmness in the land of Israel. Abimelech is set for us here in great contrast, a time of storm and trouble, to this time of Tola and Jair. And so we go from storm and dark days to peace and light. This is what's happening here in verses 2 to 5. Now, after God used Gideon to deliver them, Israel, from their enemies, what should we have expected? We should have expected peace and calmness. We should have expected a report that no longer did the Midianites and the people, these other nations, come through and raid their lands. And that was true. They were defeated and run off. But there arose a storm within Israel. A dangerous storm and a destructive storm. And now we see God bringing these two judges, Tola and Jair. We see that God is still working, working to bring peace in Israel. Not only peace from enemies attacking us from the outside, but peace with God. And God was still committed to fulfilling his covenant promises, which is what the book of Judges is all about. Through the sin of Israel, through the sin of God's people. At any moment, God had every cause to just say, okay, if that's what you want, go your way. But he doesn't. He keeps saving them. He keeps bringing them back. Every time they turn away from him, he keeps bringing them back because he is covenantally committed to them. He has declared his love for them. And he has declared that he will not let them go. And though there will be storms in their life and ours, if you belong to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not let you go. And so during this time of calmness, and it is a time of calmness, 45 years of being saved and delivered from their enemies, 45 years of peace. We see the Lord using these two men. We see the Lord using these men, and he has a mission for them. We might ask, where do we see God working his peace and calm in Israel, in Tola and Jair? Well, verse 1 says, of Tola, there arose to save Israel, Tola. And this is not like Abimelech who arose up. This is not to say that Tola arose on his own decided life judge over Israel to self-appoint him. We remember Judges chapter 2, verse 16, where the Lord said he would raise up judges to deliver Israel. And so it is here. There arose to save Israel, Tola. This is the Lord working, raising up a man to bring calmness and peace. And his mission was to save and judge Israel. It was not to save them from outside enemies, because we have no record here of any enemies from the outside of the nation who was attacking them. But what did this nation need at this time after coming through this storm of Abimelech? There is still a need to be saved. There is still a need to turn them away from the idol gods that they had been worshiping under Abimelech and to turn them to the one living and true God. And that was the mission of Tola. The aftermath of this storm was not only loss of property and life, but a loss of security. They had made Baal Berith their god so that he would provide for them. And now that wasn't happening. They had turned to those false gods, expecting those gods to deliver for them. And so in God, Jair was not to save them from their external enemies, but from their internal enemies, from within. And not only from Abimelech, but from themselves. They needed to turn away from these idol gods and turn to the living and true God. And so God raised up Tola and Jair to save them from themselves. And to judge them, to rule amongst them, to keep their own hearts from going after other gods. I want you to think about storms in your life. Maybe some of you are going through some now. Or maybe you have gone through some in the past. When I look at my own life, and I suspect when you look at your life too, we would see that most lives are brought on by our own choices, oftentimes. Because we have chosen to walk away from the Lord, to follow the desires of our heart, which the men of Shechem did when they followed Abimelech. And so often as we look at Israel, their life is a mirror to our lives. If you are like me, and I know that you are because you're sinful human beings like me, your greatest hurdle to walking faithfully with the Lord is not the world out there pressing you to do something you shouldn't. It just doesn't happen that often. Not to us here. We do get some of those pressures, but not to the point where we had not choices to make. And James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 teaches us this, that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This was what was happening to Israel. And this is what happens to us. We go through many storms because we are choosing a way that is different than the way of the Lord. And I would just encourage you to think about that, to meditate upon that. How often have you gone through crises and storms in your life because of choices you have made which go against God's word? Well, Tola's mission was to restore Israel's faith in the Lord, to save them, to turn them away from themselves, which had brought about this storm of Abimelech. They were not innocent people. They had They supported killing the sons of Gideon because they were following this false god. And in pursuing false gods, Abimelech rose up and brought death and destruction, like we read about here in James 1, verses 14 to 15. Had they been pursuing God as their king, Abimelech would never have had a chance to be king. They would not have even considered him. And so we're told here in verses 1 to 2 that Tola's mission was to save Israel from that damage and destruction that the storm of Abimelech had left behind. How do we know this? How do we know that there is peace and calmness in Israel? How do we know there was a certain degree of turning back to the Lord? Because verse 6 tells us, then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Here is another timeline that's being set before us here. Then Tola and Jair, saving and judging, and then they turned back again. And so there was a time, 23 years under Tola and 22 years under Jair, in which there was calmness and peace after this storm of Abimelech, and then they turned back to the Baals. 45 years of restoration, 45 years of peace from outside enemies. This was the work that God was doing. This was the way he was using Tola as one who to save and to judge Israel. Then after Tola, we are told in verse 3, arose Jair. Jair, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. Now there's a little bit of a difference here in this mission between Tola and Jair. Tola, we are told, was raised up to save and to judge. Jair was raised up simply to judge. That's not just a difference in word or description. There's something here, and that is this. That coming off of the storm and coming out of the storm of Abimelech, the people needed more than just to be judged. They needed to be saved from this destruction and from this death that was brought about. They need to be restored. And so God called Tola to do that, to judge, to save, and to judge. Jair was raised up by God only to judge Israel. Jair came into this work at a time of 23 years of the people not worshiping false gods. 23 years of calm and peace after the storm of Abimelech. And so Jair comes in not to save, but to judge, to rule, to discern within the nation of Israel. He came into this work during a time of peace and calmness. Tola came into the work during a time of destruction and a lack of peace. And while their work was similar, it applied different times and different situations. But it was God who was using both of them to turn Israel away from itself and its own lust to follow after other gods, to follow Him. That was the mission of Tola and Jair in this time of calm and peace after the storm. But what about the men? What about the men? We can often gain insight into what God is doing even from the names that He gives to His deliverers. I've already mentioned to you earlier that the name Tola means worm. It's hard to imagine naming your child like that. We don't know why his parents may have named him that, except for maybe this day. That God in His sovereignty, even in the naming of His people, sought to have this man whom He would raise up as a judge to be called worm. A worm is about the lowliest creature that we know. Because not only do they crawl on the ground, but they live in the ground. And as far as space, they are low creatures. What a contrast this was to the man Abimelech. Do you remember what Abimelech's name means? My father is king. Imagine having that name running around as a little child. My father is king. Who's your father? It's a prideful name. It's a name that says, I am something and I am somebody. It is a name that suggests that this person who has this name is to be lifted up above others. Whereas Tola, the worm, suggests one who is lowest among men. What a refreshing time this had to be for Israel to hear that God had raised up a man named Worm. One who wouldn't seek his own way. One who wouldn't seek to be exalted, but one who would humbly bring about the work of God in their life. In Abimelech, they had one who sought to be lifted up above all others because he was son of the king, so his name said. And now they have this one who is named Worm, who is lower than all others, who will be used by God to lift them up out of destruction and death of this terrible storm. As we sang in Psalm 22, that word for Tola, the word worm, is the same word used in Psalm 22 in speaking of Jesus Christ, who is like a worm. Where Jesus is saying, they look at me not as a man, but as a worm. But it was Jesus who was looked at like a worm in man's eyes, that God would use to raise up his people from the lowest pit of sin and death, from the darkness and the storm of sin and death. The Lord used a worm to raise you up from the pit of sin and gave you peace if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once there is stability here, in Judges chapter 10, once there is this peace and calmness that the Lord gives them through the deliverer Tola, in verse 3 we see the Lord raises up one whose name also speaks to us and points us to the Lord. Verse 3, after him arose Jair. And the name Jair means to enlighten, to bring light, to bring truth. He came at a time after the calm and after the peace was there to bring truth, to bring light of truth, that these gods that they had been worshiping were false gods, not the true God, not the living God. And so he, Jair, in his name, speaks to us even of his mission. Again, how do we know that this is what he accomplished? Because verse 6, after he died, then they turned to false gods. But while he was alive, like the worm, God used this one who was an enlightener to deliver them from the storm and the damaging effects of Abimelech. And the name Jair, the enlightener, reminds us and points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times does the New Testament speak about Jesus as light? In John 1:4, it tells us, in him Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. He was the light. He is the light. John 1:9, speaking of Jesus, says, that light to every man coming into the world. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Even in Jair's name, we are pointed to him who is light, to him who reveals the truth. And Jair was one who enlightened truth as a judge, told Israel to see their sin of idolatry and not worshiping the one true God. And for these 45 years, God used these two men to accomplish his mission, restoring Israel after the storm. One thing also we notice about both of these men, which is obvious, they both died. Their ministry ended. They both died in peace. They weren't carried away by enemy nations. They weren't killed by a woman with a tent peg. They weren't killed by a woman with a millstone. These judges that God raised up lived their life in peace with the people that they were ruling and judging. There was no internal civil war going on like with Abimelech. They died in peace. Verse 2 tells us that Tola died in the place where he judged Shamir. They died where they ruled. They died where they served the people. And that's the difference between these men and the Lord Jesus Christ. Their calm and their peace that the Lord delivered them to Israel was temporary, as we see in verse 6 and 7. And as we'll see, Lord willing, next week, how the Lord judges them for turning away from Him again, there would be more storms to come. But during this time, they died in peace because there was peace and there was calm in Israel, because they weren't worshiping as a nation the other gods. But they did die. And this even points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who also came to give peace and calmness, who also came as the light of God, and who also died. And He is not dead today. For Christ too is sent to deliver His people from the enemy of their souls, just like Tola and Jair. From sin, death, and the devil He delivers us. Colossians 1 verses 12 and 14 tells us, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has accomplished this. He has saved us, delivered us from sin and death. And He is alive. And we now, as His people, are to be lights. We are to be that light to a lost and dying world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We do that here this morning. We are here to proclaim the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. But it is not the only place that we are to do this. We are to take our light, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the darkness, to the lost who are in darkness. We are to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And while Christ was a man like Tola and Jair, a worm and a light, and the God-man, while Christ did die, He did not stay dead. He was raised from the dead that we too might be raised to life. This is what God was doing in Israel. And this is what God is doing in our life today. Bringing peace to us out of darkness. Bringing light to us out of the dark storms. And by dark storms, I do not just mean crisis situations in your life. Like losing a job can be a dark storm, a real dark storm. Losing a family member can be that. A family that is torn apart can be a real dark storm. And we certainly need God's peace in situations like this. But the greatest storm that humanity is in this storm of being cursed with death, being under the curse of sin, being under the judgment of God, and being appointed to go to hell forever. If you do not think that's the greatest storm, you don't understand what storms are and what damage they leave behind. And there is no other way to be at peace in the storm of this sinful life other than Jesus Christ and to be in His light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the expectation that we have. That though we will have trouble in this life, and sin is part of that trouble, and though we did face death because of sin, we have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Storms will come. You may be in some of them right now. Storms do come, but so does peace when you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." You will. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I could say, just because the sheer number of you, that some of you, the odds are that some of you are going through storms in your life right now. To one degree or another, some of you are. And some of you maybe have been going through it for days or weeks or years, I don't know. But I do know who to point you towards and who to be trusting in. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are a Christian here today, I'm calling upon you to look at your storm and take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it might be, there is peace to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of a storm, or even after the storm has passed. And I want to tell you this. What Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Neither let it be afraid." Even in the midst of storms, Jesus says, "Neither let your heart be afraid." Because peace he comes to bring. And let me also say that a consecrated and holy life will not deliver you from storms. Look at Jesus' life. Look at Paul's life. Paul was a holy, consecrated man. And yet, in all of Scripture, there's hardly a man who can be compared to Paul in the New Testament, who went through so many tribulations and trials, and yet he was a consecrated follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He still had storms, but he was still looking to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of those storms and after those storms to give him peace. And so whether or not you think storms will come, they will come. The question is, how are you going to go through them? Are you going to go through them looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and looking for his peace, which he says he gives? If you're in a storm now, or been recently through one and dealing with the damage, could be relationship storm, could be a storm at work, could be an internal storm that you have within yourself, and you have not found peace, then you need to take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he promises peace, and he delivers. He delivers calm during, through, and after the storm. And there is calm in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant you that during and after storms which you may be going through. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for these five verses that might seem insignificant, just a little historical update or historical data about a couple of judges that you raised up. But how we thank you, Lord, for this time of peace in the history of Israel, which speaks to us also. And speaks to us also, Lord, even in the men you have used. A worm and a light. Lord, may you point your people to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may have peace in their life.